You say we don't know. We say we don't know. We say Drek Thisout.
Welcome to the Drek Thisout podcast. I'm your host today. My name is Rachel, and I'm here with Suki, Drew, Andrea, and Deb. And today
Hello.
We're reviewing the Star Trek Enterprise episode Unexpected.
Hold on. So Deb always interrupts everybody, and she never did it to you. What's going on, Deb?
Because Rachel is lovely and one of the nicest, brilliant people in the entire universe.
Dear me. What a suck-up.
I think we're going straight to the news section with Drew.
Yes, so obviously most people who listen to the podcast know about it already, but we can't not mention it, and that was the sad passing of Kenneth Mitchell last week. Terrible news, really. He's obviously quite a prolific actor in the new Trek series, and Captain Marvel as well, wasn't he? He was in. So that's terrible news. Only 49, which as a 49-year-old myself, you know, that really hits home. I think you, Deb and Andrea, that was particularly hit hard for you guys. You've met the guy, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, we knew he was ill and he was dying, and it happened quite, 5 years. But and we only met him once, but we did harass him for an entire weekend. He made us laugh a lot. He was very loving and kind. I was queuing up to see Jason for the first ever time, and he was laughing in the queue and sort of saying, come to my queue, my friend. And then when I did, he just immediately was so welcoming and funny, and we had a good laugh, and he got his own attic in the basement, didn't he, Andrea?
We did. We moved him in. He was a really good sport that weekend. We had quite a lot of fun with him. I think, Deb, I think you had one of the best lines I think anyone's ever said for a guest at a convention, which I'm not going to take away from you. I think you should describe that one.
What about the film that he was in with Jason? They were in a film called Tennis Anyone, and the film changed a lot, actually, Ken told me, because Jason turned up with this character, and Ken sort of plays a character that follows Jason around and is bullied a bit. So I said, oh, I wanted to ask you something. Well, now I've met you. What was it like being Jason's bitch? And he nudged Jason, who was talking to someone. When he finished, he turned around and Ken repeated it to him. Oh, this woman's just asked what it was like being your bitch. And he looked at him and he goes, Tennis Anyone? And Jason just tipped his head back and laughed, and they were laughing together. And that's what I kind of remember about that weekend, is lots of laughing and confusion as we tried to explain the basement to them. But we had a lovely photo with Ken, and he just loved Star Trek. He loved the fans, and he was very kind and handsome, as he kept telling us.
And he did a very good Jason Isaacs impression. that was quite funny. But he was a great guy. And there is a bit of a fundraiser, I think. There's a GoFundMe page if anyone wants to contribute to that. So
if you go to his Twitter page, like basically at Mr. Ken Mitchell, there is a link on there for ALS research or in support of his children. So there's two GoFundMe bits on there, so you can donate to either.
He had such a positive attitude once he was diagnosed, because it started affecting him quite quickly, really, after we met him. And he just wanted to enjoy every moment with the kids. And they're just beautiful photos of him and his family. And, of course, the times at the cruise where he was crowd surfing. A very positive, loving man who wanted to have wonderful memories while he could, and do his best to raise money and awareness for ALS as well. It's really sad. Some people just shine with love and positivity and fun. And an amazing man.
I was with you, Deb, when I met him. We were Destination Star Trek, the two of us, we went up to his table and had a chat with him.
Oh, so you were there when I called him Jason's bitch?
I was there. It was a slightly different time. I think it was a bit later, but I was there and we went up and had a chat with him, and he was really kind. He was really sweet. He was laughing a lot with us.
Yeah,
it's a real sad loss.
Yeah,
a massive loss, really. So, Deb, did you posted a story earlier, didn't you, from the BBC News website?
Yeah, there was talk about this banned episode of Star Trek Next Generation, which mentioned the Troubles, and it was Data. I mean, this was really, I mean, it was an interesting story, but I did grumble a bit that they called Data a robot. Mentions about when violence, that could violence be justified if it brought about, if there was no other way of expressing voice. And I just thought it was interesting, like sci-fi can be, bringing up issues and questions and challenge you in a external way that you wouldn't expect. So I posted it, reposted it on our Twitter from the BBC News. Yeah, what did you think, Andrea? Because I know you were going to post it as well.
So it just happens in the last kind of like week or so, I've watched that episode. And not really thought anything about it. And Michael had seen it. He was like, oh, have you seen this episode of Star Trek? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, it's really controversial, isn't it? I'm like, is it? To be honest, it had gone. I had no idea that I'd even be banned, to be honest. That kind of went way over my head. I was aware of sort of original series episodes that were edited or weren't shown and stuff like that. But I totally was unaware of that.
I'm in the same boat as you, Andrea. I did not know this episode had been banned. And it was only when I read the article after Deb had posted it up, I thought, hey, what's going on here? And the thing is, it's only one line and it's been repeated apparently on a couple of occasions, but they've taken that one line out. And so it ain't controversial anymore. It's just because that one line about Ireland and it's the Irish Troubles, right, that caused all the controversy in the past. But I didn't know it had been banned. It was a banned episode.
I've been arguing with Americans about this episode on the internet for about 20 years. it's not actually banned, though, was it? It was just it wasn't shown because the troubles at the time were going on, and it just would have been in bad taste to show it. So it's not necessarily, no one said we are banning the episode. They just said we're not going to show it because it will cause trouble. And yes, it would have done. And that's been my argument for 20 years on the internet.
So I, ages ago, saw a kind of most controversial moments of Star Trek kind of list, and this was in it. So I did know that this was a controversy, and I did know that this episode existed. But I thought that it had been shown a few times, but just with that little snippet, like, removed. And then I thought the first time round they didn't show it, and then subsequently, like in the replays, they did show the episode, but with that line missing, or it's gone on to be shown at other places, but just maybe not on the BBC, but maybe on other British channels, because it's been shown all over the place now on sort of cable and satellite and stuff. But that line has always pretty much been taken out.
I remember seeing it on Sky. So it wasn't, yeah, as I say, the BBC didn't show it, and it wasn't shown in Ireland, but it was shown quite early on Sky. If we mention the name of it, it's The Higher Ground, isn't it? I mean, the biggest trouble with this is it's not actually that good of an episode, in my opinion. I think most people's opinion, really. It's just that one line has made it, you know, such a prominent episode, shall we call it?
Yeah, it's clunky, really. But in those days, to watch Star Trek Generation, you had to sort of get up, rush down to game the day that the videos were released, and then buy it, and you'd take it home and you'd watch two episodes. So I think I remember watching it on the video at that time, because I ended up with all of them in the end, and then eventually the BBC Two caught up, but I have no idea if it was on there. It's just clunky, isn't it, really? I think it shows a lack of awareness of the complexities, and it wasn't necessary, really. I think, you know, all it was saying, talk about a united Ireland in 2024. In fact, I mean, as I wrote on there, which was my comment, not podcast comment, is very much the hate, unless you have a remarkable, like you did in South Africa, with the Truth and Reconciliation, which they've kind of been an element in Northern Ireland. It doesn't lead to peace. It's only when you put down the arms and talk. That, according to the writer, was the point she was trying to make. But data actually says, well, if no one's listening, you can kind of understand, but I still personally don't ever think that violence gets us anywhere, because it takes an awful lot of forgiveness to move forward. But the best episode that I think raises that question, the best series is Battlestar Galactica, the remake, where you've got the Cylons controlling the planet, and you've got groups of people living under the Cylons, and you're following a resistance group, and all of a sudden you find out you've just been following a guy who blows him up. You know, you're on the side of the suicide bombers. And that was one of the most powerful pieces of sci-fi in bringing an uncomfortable question, because you think, well, what would you do? You know, would you resort to violence if you were being that oppressed? And I think because it was surprising, that was a much better way than a clunky sentence that Data, who is not a robot.
I'm finding it difficult to understand many aspects of Ansata conduct. Much of their behavioral norm would be defined by my program as unnecessary and unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. By my program as well, Data.
But if that is so, Captain, why are their methods so often successful? I've been reviewing the history of armed rebellion, and it appears that terrorism is an effective way to promote political change.
Yes, it can be, but I have never subscribed to the theory that political power flows from the battle of a gun.
Yet there are numerous examples when it was successful. The independence of the Mexican state from Spain, the Irish unification of 2024, and the Kenzie Rebellion.
Yes, I'm aware of them.
Then would it be accurate to say that terrorism is acceptable when all options for peaceful settlement have been foreclosed?
Data, these are questions that mankind has been struggling with throughout history. Your confusion is only human.
Andrea, you've got some exciting news.
Exciting, but also quite bittersweet, I think, because we've got kind of around a month or so to go. We're kind of at the beginning of March here as we're recording, and obviously the final season of Discovery is going to be with us in early April. So I've just got a bit of a thing going on Twitter just to organise a little bit of a fan art celebration. I don't think I'm alone in this. I think coming back into Trek and getting involved in that kind of got us back involved in art, and I'm quite grateful for that. And I did post quite recently, actually, the first drawing I did was of one of Ken's Klingons, which he was very kind about. It was one of my early, slightly clunky attempts. So there's a bit of a fan art celebration. So if anyone wants to get involved in that, just kind of get in touch via Twitter. I'll be posting a few more things over the next couple of weeks, whether you're a kind of established artist or this is your first go. I would encourage people to get involved, whether it's a drawing, a painting, whether it's digital, whether it's something in 3D, whether you've knitted it. I'm interested in all different types of submissions, and I'm hoping to have something different to share every day for April, just to kind of celebrate and say thank you to a cast who I think have been very generous. I've met quite a few of them. And a series that's given me a lot personally, so I wouldn't be sitting here now without it. So just want to say a bit of a thank you, and I'm looking forward to our final season. Trek this out on Discovery as well, so lots of things going on.
Right, so you don't mind putting up anything that you sent your way? So if I sent you like a stick man, because that's about the level my actual drawings and paintings, would you put that up for me, please? Because I'll be very, very happy if you do.
Just because it's you, okay.
Thank you. All right. I'll make sure there's a pasty for the Klingon on the top somewhere.
Can we particularly request lovely pictures of Lorca?
Can I not? Because actually, I could fill every day of the month with pictures of Lorca that have been submitted. So I've got lots of Lorca, and there are other characters in Discovery.
No. More Lorca, please. We can have a side section with all the Lorca ones. Jason says he's not in it, by the way. I'll still watch it. Destination Trek at the end of July. If anybody's coming, it would be nice to get a little a Trek This Out group together. I think hopefully at least three of us can be there. It would be awesome if we could get a little get together. I haven't actually signed on the dotted line yet. I'm told don't stay at the Norbrek, but
yeah. The hotels are available. Don't do it to yourselves.
Yeah, but Armin Shimerman's going to be there, which is awesome. So even, I mean, the thing about Destination Trek is you don't have to pay a lot unless you want to see, you know, all the extras. You choose how much you spend. And you can just sit in the bar with us and have a good laugh. So, it'll be good fun. So I hope some people come, and enough people that we can have a little get together from the podcast.
Enough people there for them to take you home. Make sure you get into bed okay. Because I can imagine you guys will be bladdered by the end of the...
Kind of the end. Are you likely to be there, Suki?
Where is it? It's in Blackpool.
Yeah, it's a long way.
Yeah, it's a bit of a distance. And I'm going to... If it was like on my doorstep, then yeah, no problem. I might turn up again like for an evening. But because it's that bit of a distance, it's going to have to be like at least a night away. And whether I can get a night off from work, I don't know.
Well, if you don't, we'll put you on Zoom and prop you up on the table.
Oh, they did that. They did that with the doctors. There was a doctor who get together with about four or five doctors in person. And there was about three of them on little tablets with their faces being zoomed in as a part of the group. It was a good little publicity thing.
What about you, Rachel?
I would love to go, and in my head I really want to go, but I don't know if we can go. It is a long way from Surrey, and it's kind of, there's some people I really would love to see there, and I'd really love to go, and I'd really love to hang out with everybody. It's just that kind of weighing up, is that the best use of our money, or should we go on actual holiday with the whole family? So we'll have to see.
Well, no, there's no question. You come to Destination Trek.
No. She had a choice earlier on before we started recording. It's a Destination Trek or Greece.
Blackpool.
Or Greece.
Yeah.
Personally, my plan is to win the lottery on Friday and then do both. But, you know, we'll see.
Well, good luck with that. Good luck.
Captain Starlog Supplemental. We've spent 8 days looking for the Cerulean ship, but so far we've had no luck.
You know, it's been over a week, Trip. We have to start considering the possibility that we're not going to find the Ceruleans.
What's that supposed to mean? Are you saying I'm going to deliver this baby?
I believe he's saying a good deal more than that. Once the child is born, it may well rely on you in some way to care for it.
I'm the chief engineer. I spent years earning that position. I never had any intention of becoming a working mother.
You know, the doctor was saying that the gestation period will only last another 5 weeks, six at the most.
You should expect to begin experiencing some unusual symptoms, hormonal changes mostly, mood swings, heightened emotions.
I suggest you stick with the civilian clothes. Seems to help hide the bulge.
How much bigger is this thing gonna get? I'm already a laughing stock of the ship.
Right, so I think our first section is initial thoughts, which of the episode Unexpected. So I am a big Star Trek Enterprise fan, a very big Star Trek Enterprise fan. And I have watched this episode, I probably over 50 times. I've watched it a lot, but I've never sat down and watched it to review it before. And so I like it. I think it's a good episode. It's not the best episode of Star Trek ever, but it's a good episode. But I was thinking more about the themes this time. And I think kind of when I was thinking about it, I think they've decided to go on a funny comedy kind of theme, where it could have gone slightly different and being a lot hard hitter. But my main thoughts through the start of this episode were poor Trip. We'll go to you, Deb.
I think it was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. And I did like the shower scene at the beginning. I bet you've watched that bit more than 50 times, haven't you, Rachel?
Yeah, the shower scene is an interesting. I want to discuss that later, but please continue.
I'm going to mirror what you're saying, Rach. I'm a big Enterprise fan, particularly season one. I think it's the best season, controversially. I really like this episode. Like yourself, a critical eye on it. I'm now wavering a bit, but yeah, I really like it.
I'm going to book the trend a bit here. So I've probably said this before, but Enterprise is the only Star Trek show I didn't watch as it aired in the UK. And that wasn't a conscious choice. It was just because where I was in life at the time, it just didn't happen. And it's not that long ago I sat down and watched all of it. And there were points in season one where I thought, maybe this is why I didn't watch this show. And I think this probably falls into that camp. I think it's got that really kind of, everything that was a bit wrong about early 2000s TV, it's quite dated, I think. I think the pace is quite weird. Enterprise does get better, but I think if I was going to try and sell Enterprise to someone, I don't think I'd show them this episode. So I feel like negative Nancy, but it's probably a bit like the way I feel about season one of TNG. It hasn't really found its place there, I don't think. It hasn't found how it wants to pitch it and what it wants to be about. So I think this is kind of, and it's fallen on some iffy tropes for me. So it's not my favourite, I'm going to be truthful.
You're not being negative, Andrew, because when I said it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, I just mean it's shite rather than very shite. So you're not on your own there. Have we been to Suki yet?
No.
Oh, well, I'll carry on then.
Cheers, Bob.
So I just wanted to clarify that, really. And I do need to watch more Enterprise because it's been a long time and I don't remember this such episode. I haven't watched them all. But I did have to do all the arm waving. That's compulsory when the titles come on.
But I did skip the intro.
Do they actually remember they have women on the ship, or does this go on the entire series or just the first series?
I can remember this episode initially when it was first shown, and it's not got very, you know, lasting memories of it. Now, the second time I've watched it, which is, to be honest, only an hour or 2 hours ago, I thought it was all right. It was an all right episode. It wasn't spectacular, and they did play it in a jokey manner instead of a serious thing that they could have done. But I'm going to say it was all right. I was not going to say it's brilliant. I'm not going to say it's great. I think it's just all right.
Okay, so now we'll move to some deeper thoughts. I think we should start at the beginning.
Go on. Start at the beginning.
How can that be deeper thoughts and be naked man in a shower? Come on, people.
Because I'm not going to talk about the naked man in the shower, although he is very naked in that shower. I'm going to talk about the size of that shower. Now, I've talked about this.
Oh, you got me going then. The size of.
Dead.
I was looking at the strategic frosted glass positioning.
All through Enterprise, the ship, the whole kind of feeling of the ship is it's supposed to be submarine-like, okay? You have the bulkheads, you have the low ceilings. Captain Archer, in his hot ready room, has to duck under that beam throughout the whole four series of Enterprise relentlessly. And then we go look at his shower, which is bigger than his office. And I just don't get it. I'm like, I know showering's important, and I know bathrooms are nice to have, and I know he is the captain, but that shower is disproportionately bigger than anything we've ever seen. And it's not the only shower scene we see in Enterprise. We also see later on, I think in season three, a dream sequence of Trip and T'Pol in a shower. That shower is also huge. So it's a lot of the senior team have these big showers. And someone explained to me why they seem to have, you know, dedicated more room to showers than they do anything else. In the first season, we don't even have a proper meeting room. They meet at the back of the bridge. But all the senior team have showers which are bigger than my bathroom. I need someone to explain that to me.
Well, yeah, to answer your question, I mean, it's an American thing, isn't it? They love their showers, isn't it? It's like later on, which I hope we can talk about, the breakfast scene where they got the big breakfast buffet. If there's something about Americans, it's they love their breakfast and they love their showers in the morning, don't they? But yeah, that scene is so great, like cold open. Oh, let's just go and watch Scott Bakula in the buff. And I mean, he does look buff, doesn't he? I was surprised, though. I looked up his age. He's 47. I always think of him as an old man, but that's actually younger than me now. But he does look pretty good, doesn't he? But yes, it's weird because it's one of the things I like about Enterprise, the dodgy sexual politics of it that they've got, isn't it? It's like they're ever... They're over to pole in like skimpy underwear, but oh no, that's okay because we're going to have Captain Archer also in the shower. So weird, isn't it?
I think it's one of those early TV tropes, like from that kind of era I was talking about. That like we're going to make it sexy time, and like I feel like they're trying really hard, but to keep it PG. I must admit, I've got this. I've really called this badly because I've written Bakula in a shower. Rachel will be happy.
Yes.
what I do think is Enterprise does try really hard to make being in space look hard. Like, it's not easy. Like, the whole decompression thing, and like it does make space look like much harder work than any of the other Star Trek series, which makes perfect sense. But yeah, the shower is quite contradictory to the whole message of they're going to be on ladders and they're going to be in little tight tubes and they're going to have like 6 inches of sleep in space, but you're going to have a giant shower. So yeah, it is quite it's not really on brand for the rest of the message about space travel.
The saying is rank has its privilege. So obviously, the captain, the senior crew, have bigger facilities for their bathrooms.
Easy now.
Right, careful. So that's why they're probably like that. The rest of the crew, they probably share one bathroom, one shower, where between five or six of them, whatever level that they're all staying on. You know, so I'm just thinking that might be the case.
I'm surprised it being Enterprise, we didn't see a shared shower scene, actually. But the thing about this is, though, although it is a bit of gratuitous shower scene that the cold open starts with, it is actually something to do with the episode, isn't it? Because it's the start of the systems breaking down. So it's good. It's clever, you know. It's a gratuitous sex scene and also something
gratuitous
to do with the...
Well, you know.
I've got my heart racing.
Yeah, my blood was pumping, that's for sure. Yeah. Scott Bakula in the buff.
It wasn't gratuitous. There was the bit of frosted glass.
Scott Bakula does not mind getting naked in TV shows or films. I think in Quantum Leap, he leaped into a few naked people. So I think he was okay with that sort of thing.
Rachel, I'll take your word for it. I'm sure you studied all them scenes to make sure he was wearing it, that piece of stuff to make the modesty and all that. Right. Anyway, carry on.
Oh, we could tell you about Jason's modesty. He always has bright coloured ones so that nobody can be sneaky, apparently. His pouch is always brightly coloured.
So we discussed the shower scene enough now, I mean, like 20 minutes on it or whatever. Can we talk about the theme tune next? Because it's such a controversial thing. Because that's what comes next, isn't it? The theme tune to Enterprise. I've got to say, unapologetic fan of it myself. But what do you reckon, Rach?
I love it. I absolutely love it. I've got it on my iPhone playlist. Sometimes it comes on when I'm jogging. It's great. I love it.
I fast forwarded. I was it. Because I told you I was at a birthday party for a 12-year-old. My time was precious. So I watched the cold open, fast-forwarded the beginning, watched the episode, fast-forwarded. In fact, I switched it off before the credits at the end. So sorry. Anyway, Andrea.
I'm on record, I think, as not having Faith of the Heart. But I prefer the early version. You know when they changed it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's awful, the third season onwards version, yeah.
Yeah. Like, it almost like it didn't know what it wanted to be anymore. Like, at least like it was a thing and I could see what thing it was trying to be. But
drum and bass. I love it, and I have to wave my arms in the air and sing along to it. That's the way to go. I remember, actually, to watch, because I said to watch Next Generation, you had to run off to the shop Game and buy the video, and then you've got two episodes to come, go, you know, watch at a time. It was to watch Voyager, I had to go to Leicester, and there was a Star Trek group, and we watched the first few episodes there. And after a while, I couldn't be bothered. So I'm very sorry. I think I was still mourning Next Generation. That's not an excuse for not having watched it, really, is it? Not the one that I thought it was.
So kind of after the you get that mess hall scene, and one of my favourite things in Enterprise is, like, to Paul, like, acting like, I don't know, like, Baz and Bev in Benidorm, like, being disgusted by the foreign muck food and, like, just want, like it's the equivalent of them, like, ordering, like, pie and chips for every meal, isn't it? Like, it's like you would expect, like, Vulcans to be just a little bit more accepting of other people's, like, sort of cultural sort of foods and traditions and all the rest of it. But, like, she's, like, quite openly, like, repeatedly disgusted, like, you know. I that funny, and that's a bit of a theme, isn't it, that she won't like eat anything and everyone stinks, which kind of, I don't know, did people just start using new deodorant or something, because no other Vulcan character ever picks up on that. It's just, it's like an Enterprise only thing. I don't know why they wrote that in, but that seems to have disappeared. But I'm guessing somebody might know the answer to that, because Rachel seems really keen to tell me.
But the smell bit, or the,
she uses a numbing agent in the end. They Vulcans use a nasal numbing agent so they don't have to smell stinky humans.
It's mentioned in Strange New Worlds when Spock becomes human, isn't it, or something, that he can't stand the smell of humans and he has to deal with it. But also, pancakes for breakfast is disgusting.
Oh, no. Isn't it? The breakfast buffet scene in the episode.
It's revolting. Where's the Marmite?
I wanted to know where the big bowl of M&Ms is. This is, it looks exactly like when you stay in American hotels and they have this buffet and it's got, you know, your waffles and your M&Ms and everything. It's great. But I love T'Pol. She's probably my favourite character in Enterprise. But this early po-faced T'Pol is just like, I just think Jolene Blaylock is such a good actor, because she looks like she's had a whole face Botoxed, because she doesn't move a muscle. Like, you could take a screenshot of any bit of this episode and she would have this exact same expression on. I just think it's a credit to her acting, really.
So I think you've also got Phlox in that screen, in that scene, who's kind of tucking into everything. I think he kind of pops back up again in sort of sick bay to deal with Trip's problem. And you can just see he'd be like up for anything. And he's, oh, yeah, you've got an extra nipple there. Like, as if nothing's happening. Like, he's just, yeah, I'll try the food. I'll try. He's the ultimate trisexual character, isn't he? Like, he's just like, he's up for anything. He's like a space swinger, really. Like, and I think he's, anything goes. And he's a character, actually, who makes me smile. I like Phlox a lot.
I also love Phlox. I think he's brilliant. I think Jolene is underrated. I also like a breakfast buffet. I quite like that. I quite like breakfast. Sorry, Debs. I love pancakes for breakfast. My eldest daughter made us pancakes for breakfast yesterday. They were delicious. I like how T'Pol is very, at the start of Enterprise, she's a bit snooty. She's like, I'm not eating the food. And there's a whole thing about her touching the food where she, and in another episode where she uses a knife and fork to eat a breadstick because she's not touching it with her hands. And then later on in the series, she eats some popcorn. I think it's Archer's popcorn. She steals some. So it's nice that they actually tie that in. It's not just, I'm being snooty, we're going to do this. And they don't do anything later with it. They do deal with her changing her sort of character later, that she does later on eat some food with her hands. It's John's she's stealing. And also the smell of the dog as well. And later on, she never really loves Porthos as much, but she does get on with him a bit better later on, especially the episode where she's on her own on the ship and she has Porthos and they kind of do a bit of bonding. So I think, although she is, it's almost like she's there to be unlikable in a way, they're setting her up so that she can do that change over the season. So I think that's kind of nice in the writing.
That character, I think she was given a story off from the beginning. You know, be unlikable. You stand a bit away from the crew, make snooty comments, that sort of thing. Right, so she's proper alien. because I haven't seen the whole of Enterprise, I don't know how big, but I'm assuming that her character slowly warms to the crew, starts to mingle a bit more, and the next thing you know, she is properly defending each member of the crew as if they were family. Like,
I think, yeah, Star Trek found that it was good to have a non-human character that was the observer, really, who was trying to understand humanity. It worked really well with Spock, whether that was the intention of Spock, but people really warmed to his character. And then Data, I mean, it has the addedness that a lot of people struggle themselves to understand what emotions and what's going on. And it just works really well to see a character evolve that way. And I think that in a way, there was a bit of a tick box that you had to have a character that could do that, that didn't quite get what was going on and had to change and evolve. But I mean, I'm a huge Data fan, and I think Data was immensely brilliant at doing that. And it was hard to go further after Spock and Data. The two of those were just awesome.
The T'Pol really is somebody that's quite based on Data, as you said, Data and Spock. But the other character that really used to stand out and comment on human behaviour was Worf. Worf was another one. And I think Worf is a bit more in T'Pol's sort of character than he is of Data, because he's a lot more alien. Whereas Data was always trying to fit in, whereas Worf would not. And T'Pol, God bless her, she just does not want to fit in at all. Right. And it takes time before she actually starts properly being in with the rest of the crew.
The next bit I remember was when the Enterprise set fire to its farts.
Oh, we should discuss why.
Was you watching the same episode?
Badly designed.
Huh?
We should discuss why is this ship so badly designed? Like, they have something outside the ship in the wake of the exit port, and yet we're having explosions on the bridge, and the gravity plating's gone. And it's not just one system. It's not like, oh, we're having some power fluctuations. That's a bit weird. It's like things are going haywire all over the ship because there's something outside the ship that's a bit too close. That is, just seems, the worst design of a starship I've ever seen.
I feel like there are some major kind of technology plot holes here. So this alien race can like build a holodeck and stuff, which is like complete, like bordering on voodoo to like Trip. But it's like, whoa, like how can you do this? But Trip can go on board their ship, have never ever seen any of their technology, which is more advanced than the technology he's come from, and just fix the engine. It's like, yay. It's like getting someone from 1890 to come and fix your computer, isn't it? Really, like it doesn't quite add up somehow. I don't know. It's like they've clearly got far advanced technology, but Trip can take one look and go, yeah, and fix that, love. Like some dog street mechanic. Like, I don't know. It does seem like an odd, I don't know. It is a slightly odd setup to get him on board the ship. Like,
yeah, and absolutely hitting the nail on the head there. I mean, I was going to say exactly the same thing. And also, he's not suited to the environment. I mean, you couldn't really pick up a worse person, could you? Doesn't know anything about the equipment, can't survive properly on the spaceship. It's weird. Should we talk about that spaceship? I mean, it's an incredible scene, isn't it? You know, it's... So there's... Well, first, before he does it, he's in decompression, isn't he? And did everyone wonder, why does he keep buzzing Archer to find out how long's he been in it? Do watches not exist in the future anymore or something? So weird, isn't it? But yeah, so he goes on board and it's like a dry ice and flashing lights and everyone's pupils have popped. I mean, this is someone who's modelling the spaceship on ecstasy, aren't they? Is absolutely 100% what's going on that spaceship, isn't it?
So I know they tried to kind of claim it was grass later in the episode. When he first gets there, I was like, we definitely had that green carpet on the stairs in the 80s. Like, we had that green patterned carpet on our hall stairs in London in the kind of mid-80s. So I was like, oh, you know, maybe they got a remnant for the set. But yeah, at least they've tried to make an alien ship a little bit alien, because, like, generally they're just like, just some set dressing on what they've already got, haven't they? So at least they've tried to kind of, like, they have the food on the walls and stuff. So they've tried to go for the full on, like, this is different and strange.
I was going to say something, that this is the fourth episode of Enterprise. And obviously, you know, it is alien. And I think they've done that on a purpose. It's because in a lot of, you know, TNG and even the original series, it was like, oh, this is very humans, but they've got slightly different ears, or they've got a slightly different forehead. This is kind of a completely alien environment, and that I think I quite liked. I quite liked the food being different, and I quite liked how they were humanoid, but they'd done more than just a few minor changes. They did look quite different. But when I was watching, you know, Trip going over, it's a part of the thing that they do in Enterprise is with Trip, they bounce him between being completely competent in absolutely everything to being completely useless in absolutely everything. And they do it on this frequent basis. You know, in other things, they talk about Trip being a trained diplomat, Trip being like the best engineer, Trip being, you know, calm under pressure, the action guy. And then he's calling Jonathan Archer every 5 minutes because he doesn't like being in a room by himself. And it's kind of like, you're like, really? They do jump back and forth. But obviously, he's not such a great engineer because he only fixed the ship for a couple of weeks before.
Trip, it's a bit of an enigma. Yeah, as Rachel says, he does seem to be competent on doing whatever he needs to be doing, but he doesn't. And then, as he says, it doesn't stay fixed. Now, also, the fact that everybody seems to be going through Trip on the ship to be able to repair stuff. When hasn't he got crew that are competent themselves to be able to take the initiative and do the repairs themselves, instead of him having to make all the decisions for them? Carpet bit, green carpet. Oh, they see carpet. I saw green linoleum. It was like green lino on the floor. That's all I could see. I could see no actual grass at all, so I don't know what they were looking at. And I would not walk around in a ship where the food is just growing on the walls. You know, all you needed is just somebody just go, I've just wiped my hand on somewhere and just wipe it on the wall, or just rush against the wall. Next thing you know, I think I'll have something to eat off here. And you're eating somebody's nasty hand, whatever you'd like to say. So no, that did not gel with me, having the food drop on the walls.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about Trip is he is incredibly sweet, isn't he? And I don't know, he brings out your sort of mothering instincts that you want to go over and give him a big hug and tell them to stop being so mean to him. You're right, the alien makeup and the fact that they actually had a different race that looked different was amazing, but the technological confusion really as to how good they are in some things, but then in order to get to some vital bit, you have to get one of these mechanic trolleys and wheel up and down into the most inaccessible places. The holodeck thing, which is the first time you see a holodeck, the immediate thing is, God, imagine what we'd be doing in here if we had one. And I kind of think, yes, perfectly right. And we all know what we'd be doing in there, playing Dixon of Dot Green or whatever it was.
Well, I was going to say something else, but just to pick up on that, actually, for like an episode with a fairly sort of mixed response, it's the first time you see a holodeck, like sort of in kind of timeline wise, and it's the first time you see a Klingon bird of prey. Like, they're quite big, like, canon first appearances.
But that was a mistake. It was actually too early for the Bertie Bassett. But while we're talking about holodeck, can I just mention, because it's my favourite bit of the entire episode, I can see my house from here.
Yeah.
The whole episode deserves an extra light just for that line. I loved it.
What I was going to say, just to pick up on from before, was that I feel like Enterprise kind of went quite hard for the reptilian look. I don't know if they just hired some makeup artists who were really great at scaly people, but I feel like that was quite a popular alien look of that kind of era. And I think we've been very good and very restrained not to have mentioned the additional nipples this far into the podcast. So well done, everyone, for being grown-ups.
What I'd be doing on a holodeck would be watching old Doctor Who, or basically not watching, I'll be reenacting with the actual actors being there. So that's what I'll be doing. Just going back to Trip, I just realised Trip is a talker. He's somebody who likes meeting people and talking to people. And this is a chance for him to meet an alien race. So rather than him doing something maybe from a video point of view, he wants to be there in person and be over there and intermingle with these aliens in more ways than one than he realised. But yeah, so that's the whole thing why I think he was wanting to go over there. He's an explorer and he likes to talk.
So, you know, the whole, what would we do? What would we do with a holodeck? That had to be Malcolm. Whenever they have anything slightly like that, it's always Malcolm they bring in to say it. And then usually he disappears again afterwards and you're left like going, what? So I thought that was quite interesting. But I also thought what was quite interesting is the love interest was obviously that scaly, like, well, she, you know, she was kind of keyed in to be sort of the love interest woman kind of that Trip would like. She wasn't the classic Star Trek woman, if that makes sense. If you look in sort of Kirk's era, they're all very scantily dressed. They're all kind of big hair, lots of makeup, that sort of thing. And that carries on a lot of the seasons. But she is very reptilian. Like, you wouldn't look at her from like a human point of view and go, oh, yeah, she's you. She's your standard beauty kind of thing. But Trip does say, you know, that he does, there's a certain sensuality, I think he says, about her. So I thought that was kind of interesting that they were trying to make that, even that sort of alien, that the sort of person that he finds attractive isn't human. They're very alien, but they haven't tried to make it more of like, you know, the human sort of male gaze. I thought that was an interesting thing.
I was just going to say, in line with that era of Trek, though, she had a really tight suit and a rocking body, so
yeah, she did have
it. I thought she was attractive. the guy who plays Malcolm Reed,
Dominic Keaton.
Yeah. Having met him, I can understand completely why he had that line. Because I think that is completely what he would do on holodeck.
Mm-hmm.
No comment from Andrea.
To avoid litigation.
Yes.
We'll say no more.
Leicester beat Southampton 9-0 that day.
Well, the thing as well with this alien race, the actual holodeck date that they had, because that it's a date basically, because she's taken him away and she wants to show him stuff, so it's a date. It's quite innocent. She I know it had consequences, but I don't think both of them knew that those consequences would be just as traumatic as it turned out to be. But I think it was just an innocent date, and both of them enjoyed each other's company. But after that, it becomes more complicated. I mean, where do you send the money for child support and stuff like that? Yeah, it gets a bit difficult there.
Yeah, you keep saying holodeck. It was the chill-out room in the club, wasn't it? It was all like flashing lights and dry ice, and then they go to like the calm environment and start chilling out. Yeah, so but once they're in there, though, this is the scene, isn't it? The pebbles scene. And where obviously she impregnates Trip, and where the start of like the controversy of this episode begins, really, doesn't it?
So yeah, this is the bit that had me rethinking it rewatch, because when I watched it, I've just kind of thought, yeah, like you, it's quite innocent. They're just playing a game. It doesn't really mean anything, and there are accidental consequences. But when I'm rethinking it, I'm like, what does she know at this point? She knows, she says, at the end, she says, oh, I didn't think this could happen with another species. So she knew it could possibly happen with her species. Stick your hand in some pebbles and someone gets pregnant. And I feel that on rewatch, should she have been a bit more explaining about what doing? Because she just says, oh, it's just a game. It needs four hands. She doesn't really explain. She doesn't even tell him she will be reading his mind. And on rewatch, there's a lot I'm thinking, actually, if you've asked me to play a game and it's going to involve reading my mind, I want to know that first. There's a lot of stuff in my head that I don't want you people to know. and I would like to be consented before you invade my brain. And also, if there is even a single chance I'm like, you know, even a 0.00001% chance of a pregnancy arising from this, because you don't think it could ever happen, I would still want to know. I would still like to be able to make that decision myself. So although it is an innocent date, it looks like it, what is going on in her head? I mean, is it that innocent when she knows things can arise, not just the pregnancy, which obviously does happen, but the invasion of his mind? He hasn't consented to that. So on a rewatch, it became a lot darker, actually, I think, than when I originally watched it, because I just thought it was fun kind of thing. But then I'm like, oh.
You've got a feel for Trip there, because like, yeah, we were just going to play a game, Trip. I feel like he was kind of groomed and ended up getting pregnant by sticking his fingers into some kind of Zen garden ornament from Wish. Like, it's not a good way to end up with nipples on your wrist, is it? But yeah, and I think it's that kind of era and time, because I think the kind of made sure it was a male character, because I think if it had been gender reversed, it would have seemed sinister then. But you could, everyone laughs along, don't they? Oh, like, dirty old Trip, it's his fault. He's gone, no, I haven't done anything, and no one really believes him. And they just kind of like laugh at him, don't they? It's like he's a bit of a joke, isn't it? Like, silly old Trip. And they wouldn't have, even at that era, they wouldn't have done that with a female character, I don't think, and treated it as something lighthearted. And I think if they'd made an episode today, I think it would be a little bit more controversial what had happened to him. And I think you would expect the responses of other people to be a little bit different. So it's that kind of it. So you could get away with it because it was funny then. So I don't think they could make that episode now. But when you do kind of watch it back, you think, actually, like, he has kind of been quite, like, unpleasantly violated. Like, you kind of feel for the guy. But, you know, it's just become a bit of it's a bit comical. But I do kind of worry, like, what were those wrist nipples for? Like, what they're attached to, like, they're just sticking out of his wrist. What is this thing going to eat? Like, it doesn't really make any sort of scientific sense, but yeah.
It's a baby vampire. I mean, we don't actually know that's when he became pregnant. That's just, like, the assumption. But didn't Deanna get impregnated in Next Generation, the child? Yes. I can't fully remain the details. I haven't seen that bothered about that either.
I think that was quite a dark episode, though, as I recall. That was played like really seriously, and as something bad had happened. It wasn't like played for laughs and, oh, your fault, like, who have you been knocking about with, love? Like, it was definitely wasn't.
Yeah, that was about trying to blame him. Well, what have you, you know, thinking it's not Kirk, love. I mean, they did try and offer him contraception. They kept telling him, these are coils, look. So, I mean, they did try their best, didn't they, really, to warn him.
They could have given him some marigolds, couldn't they, or something like that, or condoms on his fingers, really.
Yeah. It was supposed to be a funny episode, but I don't know whether, because it was like, oh, we know it's a funny episode because the anti-gravity thing in the shower at the beginning, and also because everybody keeps smirking when they talk to Trip. And that was a bit, you know what, you know, if they never watched Alien, for goodness sake, he's got a baby alien inside him, could burst through anywhere any minute. And, yeah, not taking it very, very seriously at all. So, yeah, that's one of the reasons I hate the episode. I'm not sure how I feel about the idea of whether it was an invasion, because he plays it very lightly and doesn't seem to be that bothered. Because I'm knowing he was going to get pregnant, there's all this stuff. Go to sleep. What was all that about? So maybe, you know, it happened when he nodded off somewhere. It's a very weird episode. I don't know why I started off thinking I was going to defend it then, and then I realised why, because it's still shit.
Just thinking about whether they could do it nowadays, they probably could do it nowadays. Now, the other way they'd probably do it these days is they'd tell him beforehand that there would actually be consequences. You know, you might get, as Rachel says, that 0.00001% chance of getting pregnant. But, you know, you're going to have a fun time with me and we are going to read each other's minds and we'll have a nice time. But you might get pregnant. It's your decision. That's why the nipples be, it probably ain't milk that they're suckling on. It's going to be blood. That's why it's right there by the wrist. It's going to be blood.
Yeah, you're saying that the nipples, I mean, it's that line at the end as well. And you said, Andrea, if it was a female character, can you imagine if Hoshi had been impregnated by a male character and they was all having a good snigger at the fact that she's going to have a baby And the bit at the end of the episode, or near the end of the episode, when they're having dinner, and they say, oh, if we can't find the Zerillians, then you're going to have to mother the child. Trip's going to have to mother the child of, you know, that's been put into him, violation-wise, into him, into his body, against his consent. I think Phlox says about, oh, you're going to have to put your nipples to use. Can you imagine saying to Hoshi, if she was pregnant, oh, well, you're going to have to put your nipples to use on this baby that was put into you against your wishes? It's just awful, isn't it?
It feels like a bit of a, like, not necessarily for, like, to be just controversial for the sake of it, but it's a bit of an attention grabber episode, isn't it? It's like, oh, this is like, it's again, I keep coming back to that, it's that kind of era of TV. It's like, that's the attention grabber, isn't it? Oh, there's a pregnant man in this week's episode of Enterprise, you need to tune into that. And I feel like, actually, if you cut that storyline out and did something more with the Klingons, I think you would have had a better, because really they're like there for like 30 seconds. They're like window dressing. Like, why did they even bring the Klingons along? Like, that was like really like, they were a bit pointless. And I think they could have done something interesting with that storyline without doing that storyline. It would have been a better episode for me. Like, it feels like it's that odd pace. Like, I feel like it takes quite a long time for the kind of the pregnancy to be revealed. And then it feels like quite hand wavy and resolved in 5 minutes. And then everybody can like get on with their lives and live a happy day. Like, it feels the pace towards the end, like, it's almost like we've got to wrap this up, we've got too much storyline going on here. But I do think they could have done the whole going on the ship, and they could have done something with the Klingons, and I think I would have liked the episode more for it. But it wouldn't have been as funny, but probably would have hung together as a better episode of sci-fi for me. Deb?
It wasn't me, but I'll go anyway. I was just thinking that as well. The nipples, I mean, saying this is a strange alien race that they don't actually have an engineer who understands their own, you know, they remind me of the pack legs, really. Let's wander around till somebody fixes us. So I was surprised they weren't going to sort of nick a load of technology at the same time. But, you know, they seem to be very confused in, you know, so they can't fix their own technology. Despite having a holodeck, their biology gives them extra nipples when they've already got two. And the woman clearly had breasts. So it's very, very odd race that has evolved very impractically, I think. Suki, and I think it was Anne-Rachel.
It's actually Rachel. Rachel's had her hand up for a while.
Rachel, sorry.
Would like to reframe this episode, because I don't think Trip is pregnant. I think Trip has a parasite. They say that the alien species which has embedded itself in him has no genetic component of Trip. It is a completely genetic alien. It's not related to Trip. He's got it through contact, not like our kind of reproductive contact or just touching him. Some genetic material has been moved over, and he has an infant alien growing inside him. If this was any other episode, it would be a parasite. He has got an alien parasite growing in him, and he would not, and you know, hosts do change and adapt to parasites. They get used to parasites and they can change their behavior, they can change what they're doing to benefit the parasite. And that's what Trip has. He's got these, you know, biological changes to suit this child, and it's not he's changing. Like, they use some human pregnancy tropes, but he isn't changing to feed a human child. His body is changing for this alien parasite. And, you know, who knows how it's going to burst out of him? He can't give birth. Is it going to be like an alien scene where it kind of just erupts out of his side? You know, is that going to... They don't mention a lot, like, how... They say, oh, you might put those nipples, but they don't mention how this is harming Trip. They don't mention... And they don't even mention... You know, they say, oh, we can't extract the child because it, you know, it might harm it. I'm like, no, this is a parasite. I know it might evolve into a sentient being, but this is something that has invaded him. It's like, think of it like an egg growing inside him, any sort of alien thing. So I don't think Trip's pregnant. I think he's got a parasite.
You know, something, you saying that as a parasite, yeah, you could be right there. It isn't what you would call a... I don't know, you've got a male pregnancy, but you call a normal pregnancy. Now, because there's, as he says, there's nothing from the father. It's just the mother, allegedly from the mother. Yeah, so you could be right on that, a parasite. Now, the other thing I was going to ask you guys was, who's told the crew? Because Trip is there wandering around the whole ship, getting very, very paranoid as to why the crew are all staring at him, as somebody told them that he's actually pregnant, even though he's gone round and he knows the captain wouldn't say anything. He knows Dr. Phlox wouldn't go around and say anything. And he should really know that T'Pol doesn't lie and wouldn't really go around and say anything. The only other person is Trip. And Trip is the one, I think, went around telling everybody, because he's there going around saying, this needs changing because it's for a small person. This could be changed. The next, he might have gone around to a crowded group of people in the toilet. This needs a baby changing area. You know, so automatically they've all gone, oh, baby coming on board. Why is that? Yeah, now, Rachel keeps shaking her head at me. Come on, Rachel.
I think that's another one of the pregnancy tropes. That's another thing of being anxious and being people, you know, thinking people are talking about you. That's another pregnancy trope. You have the whole of the eating, you have the being worried about babies, and then you have that kind of anxiety, I'm a bit, being a little bit neurotic kind of thing, and that is another pregnancy trope that they're throwing at him.
Yeah, you're right about the parasite, aren't you? So we're saying that Trip goes aboard an alien spaceship, gets fingered in his pebbles, and ends up with a sexual parasite in him.
Yes.
Yeah, horrible.
Gets fingered.
Well, he gets Arlene fingers his pebbles, doesn't she?
Yeah, that's a really, really good description there. You can't really argue with it now, can you?
But we're missing. So when he gets found or told that he's pregnant by Phlox, T'Pol goes straight on the attack, doesn't she? So she keeps saying, "Oh, he was only over there for 3 days." You know, you can't control yourself. Again, if that was Hoshi, would they really be saying that? Oh, you couldn't control yourself and you end up pregnant through a male alien. Rach?
I think this is another... I don't think they planned, like, Trip and T'Pol this early, but I think this is another thing that they use later on to kind of, like, signal that they are... kind of later on they use this sort of incident, because he says later on, oh, I've never enjoyed arguing with somebody before, when they're sort of together, that's what he says, like, about their relationship. So I think this is kind of what they use as a start of their, like, relationship, because every time Trip interacts with another female, T'Pol kicks off about something, and it happens all the way through, even to the girl he sort of gets kissed by. I can't remember what her name is now, it's off the top of my head, but
And you've watched these episodes 50 times. Come on.
I can't remember names. I just really can't remember names. It'll come to me later. But she's a Mako, and she's very pretty, and she kisses him in a room when he's not expecting it, after the neural pressure. I can remember all the things. I just don't remember a name. And so T'Pol gets kind of jealous of that, and there's other female characters all the way through that she gets a bit, like, snotty with him when he's been talking to people. And... I think this is the start of it, and they realise that, and they continue it through until kind of she gets so jealous of the Mako, she makes a move on him.
Where's the scene where T'Pol and Trip have to be detoxed or in a shower together? Isn't that in the first or second episode? So there's all that tension there.
There is a decon scene in the first episode. I think it's... But there's quite a few in Enterprise, so... But they do get in the shower, in the decon together at some point, and they do get in a shower together, but that's only in a dream sequence.
They must have started that from the first episode onwards, so maybe they did have this planned of her being a bit jealous of him being pregnant or philandering with another female character in the past. Yeah, so this might be a thing that they'd already had planned, not just starting from here.
It's another example of being unable to write female characters at that time, isn't it? That they have to be swooning for a man. But I haven't watched the whole series. I don't know. But it does seem to be the episodes I've watched seem to be quite weak on female characters. And they're quite weak on some of the male characters as well, aren't they? You get to think of it.
The Mako was called Cole. That was her name.
Right.
Well done, Google.
Yeah, so he comes back and he's pregnant, and they're very non-supportive. And I think it's interesting that they do just assume that he has to care for this child. It's like, you're going to have to look after it. You might feed it. Who, you know, what your postnatal responsibilities are. And he's like, oh, I didn't work so hard to be a working mother. And I was just like, excuse me? Like, it's just the way he says it, you know, working mother. It's really kind of derogatory. And I think I am the only working mother on this podcast at the moment. But I'm just like, what? Some of us have been working really hard and we're a working mother and that doesn't impact our jobs. And I think it's very much reflective maybe of the time when it was like working mothers, you know, you're not really dedicated to your job or you're not really dedicated to your career. You've had a baby, so you don't really care so much anymore. And I've heard that in my career from various people about, oh, you know, she's got kids, she's not going to be committed to her career. And I was just a bit kind of like, oh, Enterprise, do better.
This is not a podcast where we normally say nice things about each other, but I know what job you do and I know what a great mum you are. So I think you're in the right place to say that. But normally I slag people off, so that's pretty weird.
Do you really?
Well, it's a sign of affection.
Yes, I'm overly loved over in this direction. I know that.
I haven't been thinking of red shirt either.
I have. I've already got my red shirt lined up. Deb.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've covered, you know, the controversial stuff of this episode, haven't we?
Yeah.
I mean, there's little bits and bobs, but
I think the only other thing I'd say was that it's very easily resolved. There's no hard decisions to be made. They keep it lighthearted. It's not, what will you do? You have to keep the child or give the child. It's like, oh, no, we can solve this. We'll just get somebody else pregnant instead of you. It's absolutely fine. Which, to be honest, sometimes during pregnancy, that sounds quite nice, quite convenient if you just...
I guess for a series as well, they are introducing the characters and getting to know the characters. I think they are setting up maybe Trip as being a character that you could quite... happily hug, you know, and mother, and he's harmless in many ways and inquisitive and also easily flattered, and he's anybody's for a lump of jelly,
a tart.
He does say at one point, would I risk my career for a 3-day romance or something, and then you do many times during this series.
Yeah.
How many lights you see? I asked how many lights you see.
Okay, we're going to introduce the lights out of five. Each of us will give a rating of how well we think it. 5 out of 5 being the best. So I'm going to rate it a 3 out of 5. I think it's a good episode, but it's not the best. And on rewatching, it got darker. Suki, what will you give it?
I remember watching it. I remember the male trip pregnancy episode. And I just... You know, my mentality back in then, it's a fun episode. Now, coming back to it and discussing it with you guys, especially what Rachel just said, that it has gone down from being an enjoyable middle-of-the-road episode, it has gone down to 2. So it's a 2 out of 5.
Drew, would you like to go next?
Yeah, sure. I really, really like Enterprise. And yeah, I thought this was a fun episode. But yeah, on close introspection, I think it only deserves a 3 like you, Rach. It's just, it's not right anymore in 2024.
Deb, do you want to go next?
I think we should ask you back to do an episode of Enterprise that you think's good and let you champion Enterprise sometime. But it gets a point for the line, I can see my house from here by the Klingon, because I think that's brilliant. And I'm quite disappointed no one said Trip's nips, but 2.
Andrea?
I'm going to be the meanest and I'm going to give it 1.5 superfluous nipples out of 5.
That's all there was on show anyway, 1.5.
Yeah. So the interesting fact is that the nipples were made out of gelatin.
Listeners, feedback.
Yes, so various people have left us feedback, either messaged us or on Twitter. Would you like me to read out the first one?
Go for it, you're in charge.
From Jack McMorrow has said, Another unexpected thing is how the Southern Man Gets Pregnant episode is only the fourth one in a new show. Then again, it premiered mere weeks after 9/11, so I understand the need to put a levity foot forward first. And I agree, this is a very early episode and quite an odd episode to have so early. And they want to know, how does only Captain Archer be the only one to recognise that there's a ship-shaped thingy in the Enterprise wake? And that is a good question, because when I saw it, I didn't see the ship. It wasn't until he did that, slow it, zoom it, do this thing, Hoshi, do that thing, Hoshi, and then you saw the ship, that you could see the ship.
It set fire to the Enterprise farts. I've done that one.
Did you say you've done that?
I've said that. No, I could actually see the tumbleweed at that point. Oh, poor Rachel. I did wait to make sure that your children were not in earshot before I said anything rude.
Thank you. So they talk about the holodeck as a cool addition to establish mid-20th century Starfleet. It's not advanced in the past, as in it is in the future, is where we have our holodeck. And they've said, I wonder if Malcolm Reed saying if we had one holodeck, it would be used for all sorts, is a commentary from the producers on Will Riker. Also, you know, Will Riker did turn up in a holodeck on Enterprise in an episode that we should probably forget about. There is some sort of foreshadowing there of Will Riker being on a holodeck. Someone said, an enjoyable comedy episode, but I dread to think how unexpected we received if it were in the latest slate of New Trek. And I think we've mentioned that as well, that actually we thought when we first watched it, it was kind of a fun comedy because we weren't really maybe thinking about it that much. But on revisiting, that it is a bit darker and not necessarily would be okay to do now as a pregnancy episode. But if you had it as a Parasite episode, I think it would be fine. But just a thought. And they said the actors and writers do not have the greatest handle on the characters yet. However, the entire cast, especially Scott Bakula, had a firmer grasp on their characters this early than the other Star Trek casts had this early in their show's run. Which I think I agree with. I think when you watch some of the early episodes of some of the Treks, like the characters swing a bit, and I think Trip swings a lot, but it's not that he doesn't become any more stable as you go on. He still swings a lot about what he does.
Are you quite sure you want to use the word swings, you know, because
it's giving me certain
connotations in my head here.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a swinger, Gore.
Yeah, he's got pampas grass growing outside.
Yeah.
Not meant it
upside
that
down.
Way.
That's where you need
Oh, yes, shower. We believe you, Rachel. We believe you didn't mean it that way, obviously, yes.
He goes on about Trip in his underwear. How he would cosplay Trip's underwear. And now Trip was in his underwear, I think, when he was... when he was in the Doctor's?
Yes. At the beginning, isn't it? When he's getting these shots, I think.
Let's get the point in. Jack said he'd cosplay in the underwear if he had the same underwear. So if we can source it, I think we send it some
No, he's saying I have the same underwear as Trip. I'd cosplay,
cosplaying it. But only make... No, don't worry, Jack. You can cosplay. That's fine.
Hold on. Just somebody please read that sentence out, because I think it's quite funny. Somebody needs to read it out properly.
I was cosplaying it, but it would only make divorce rates go up.
Yes. Too right there, Jack.
Now go around. No, do it, Jack. Jack.
I hate lawyers at the best of times. I don't want to give them extra money.
And then says, with the caveat, it must be seen with the words of Gabriel Lorca, context is for kings. It must be viewed in the context of an innocuous turn of the Millennium TV episode, one which is basically Voyager Season 8, one which shows potential for future episodes, given it's so early in the run, and gives it 3 stars.
And a firm punch to Jeffrey Archer.
I don't know if he should be punching people, but okay.
Jeffrey Archer.
Wasn't that a politician?
Yes, he trod on my foot once.
Conservative.
So yes, Jeffrey Archer definitely deserves a punch, because he trod on my foot. He did say sorry.
Ain't Jeffrey Archer the author?
Yes.
Yeah, and the ex-politician who lied and bribed people and still seems to turn up on television.
Oh, right, okay. Okay, who's next?
And trod on my foot, which is the worst thing. Rebecca Lockley. Shall I do Rebecca?
Go for it.
Empreg stories are one of those things that crop up in sci-fi and fantasy, usually in a relationship between two men, so it's interesting for Trip to have become pregnant by a female without any medical intervention to make it possible, since as far as we're aware, Trip is a cis man. Trip is obviously fascinated by the ship and the people, and he does what any curious person would do. But the female aliens seem to take advantage of the situation, including his inebriated state due to the decompression. Later, she says she didn't know pregnancy could happen interspecies, but she never informed him of the original act with the granules was their version of intimacy. And this lack of consent is never addressed, not even when we find out Trip is pregnant. Furthermore, why was there no discussion of termination as there had been on Next Generation when Deanna was impregnated by an alien? There was one throwaway line about termination, but no discussion about it or the obvious exploitation of Trip. I struggled with calling this rape, but in the end, wasn't that what it was? And it's somehow supposed to be humorous between the rock bowl and the wrist nips. Oh, and I have to say that as a 40-something, I appreciated the Scott Bakula opening fan service more than when I was in my 20s. Thank you, lovely Rebecca.
Can I just say about the termination thing? Phlox does say in it that he's wary to remove this symbiont or whatever it is because he says, I've not seen the species before. Because that's what I thought as well. Why are they not just doing the termination on it?
I mean, it's also the issue, isn't it? It's a new species I've not met before, its first contact.
Yeah.
And to kill their babies, if that's what it is. But yeah, I mean, everything everybody said is valid. And maybe it isn't the light, fluffy episode. Mind you, everybody hated it at the time as well, thought it was silly. Maybe silly is a better example than. And now we see the abusive overtones a bit more, but I don't think it was intended like that. I'm just remembering watching Alien in the cinema. And when the alien burst out, I actually had to walk out because I was giggling so much. So that just shows how I do with horror.
Nice. Shall I take Dave K on that?
Take Dave.
So Dave K has to say this about Unexpected. I know I saw this when I first started watching season one of Enterprise, but I literally remember nothing about it. So went and watched it this afternoon. The thing that I love about Enterprise is the feeling that this really is humanity stretching out into new frontiers with limited technology, where things go wrong, where everything is new and unknown. The first half of this episode really delivers on that. Sadly, once we get into the main plot, the episode doesn't seem to know if it wants to do drama, comedy, or sci-fi, and really has nothing to do with the premise. Even a terrible episode like TNG's The Child got some tension and moral conundrums out of a crew member being impregnated by aliens. I thought maybe things would get more interesting when the Klingons rocked up, but nope, they're talked down and then disappear as well. Nice setup, but an ill-conceived second half, almost saved by Connor Trinneer giving the script a serious performance. 2.1 lights. Thanks for that feedback, Dave. I think it makes a very good point, actually, which I was going to mention as well. It is like an episode of two halves, isn't it? It's really weird, like all the trippy stuff on the club spaceship at the beginning, and then it just takes a right left turn when the pregnancy thing comes on, and it's almost like a different episode from then.
So that's something I realised when we were watching it again, because the pregnancy doesn't come up until you're halfway through the episode.
I think even later than that, I looked at the clock when they said pregnancy and it was like about 17 minutes left or something. I just couldn't believe, because everyone said it's the pregnancy episode, how late it was.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rach, go on, carry on.
I was really shocked that it happened that late, because in my head, it was the pregnancy episode. Trips goes away, something comes back and he's pregnant. So I was kind of expecting it to come up more. And then And I've seen it so many times, but I hadn't really clocked that it's so late. And they don't give it a lot of time to do anything with it. So I think that's one of the reasons that it's not too meaty or too tensiony kind of thing. It's because it's almost like an afterthought. It's like a joke afterthought. And the episode isn't really about the pregnancy. It's about how strange these aliens are. And something that Dave has said here that I think we haven't said that we should is that Connor Trinneer's performance is really good for this. I think he could have taken it lots of different ways, but he played it very straight. And I think his performance, I think, was very good. And I think we should give him 5 out of 5 stars.
Absolutely.
Definitely, yes.
I know you are invested in that. But he does, and he makes Trip very likeable. And you forget that it is only the 4th episode, and you do watch it going, oh, yeah, he's sweet. You know, that he didn't have any anger. It was a sort of, it's like very childlike, really.
Yeah.
He's an explorer, as it says. He's an explorer. He just wants to be out there.
And right. Learn new technology and meet new people and be complimented. Don't we all? Not red-shirted.
In his underwear, you mean. Yes, of course.
I'm sorry.
Right,
we've
so
done
I'll take...
bit, yes.
You're continuity breaking there, aren't you? Because we haven't done red shirts yet, so we don't know who's going to be red shirted.
Don't know who's going to be red shirted. It's going to be a total mystery.
Oh, dear me. How much editing do you want me to do? So we now go on to Cat, aka Blue Cat. Ah, Cat. Trip gets pregnant. Well, what a lovely opening scene. Whatever I might say about Mr. Bakula's acting skills or stodgy character, he maintains a prime physical condition that is a joy to see. Good thing Archer didn't get injured when he fell in the shower. The SFX with the water globules was also great, and I have no idea how they suspended Bakula in midair without the strings showing. My guess is the magic of CGI. I don't think there was the CGI, and I'm pretty sure they might have put the strings around certain appendages if they wanted to, just to make sure they stayed up, you know, floating in midair. But because of the misted glass, you couldn't see anything.
Bloody misted glass.
Trip's trip to the alien ship was good. The fact that he spent time in decompression lent authenticity. The effects and set dressing on the alien ship were outstanding. Amazing that lizard people have memories. Amazing that lizard people have memories, though. Also amazing that Trip got pregnant through some sort of electricity. I liked his introduction to holo technology and the telepathy game. I guess he should wear nitrile gloves for that one in the future. Have I said that right? Nitrile. Right. Pregnancy was handled a little cutesily for my taste. The usual smirking about eating for two and the like. I'm glad they eventually found the woman responsible and were able to relieve Trip of his burden. The Klingons were a treat and kind and scary, kind of scary. Archer really is a pretty good diplomat at times, and so was Trip. Imagine being stuck in decompression with a room full of Klingons. Now, actually, I've got to disagree with that. Archer wasn't the diplomat there. That was T'Pol. T'Pol was the one that jumped in and sort of smoothed everything over and told a white lie to be able to get the Klingons aboard. So maybe
like
Kat's
that.
Just...
He was like, at the end, he was like, oh, was that true? Do you mean that? And she's like, no.
Yeah. So Kat continues, I know you all probably weren't looking for a semi-serious review of this one, but this is my 2 cents. Thank you for that, Kat.
Eddie from New York City. Not a fan of NYC. That is New York City, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah,
we think. Yeah. Hello, Eddie. Not a fan of that ep. Trip is impregnated without his consent by an alien, and all anyone can do is laugh at him, except a Paul who slut shames him. Not good at all. And I think Laurie's a nice one to finish on.
So I'll read out Laurie or at Flubish on Twitter. She says, this is my very favourite Enterprise episode. I can't help it. I do agree, though, that everyone is shitty to Trip when they should be sympathetic and kind. But it is still a really fun episode. Connor is great in it. And I think we can all agree that Connor is great in it.
Absolutely, yes. Rachel. Connor is great.
think he's great in all of it.
If he redshirted me after me saying Connor's great, I mean, it just shows what a nasty, mean person you really are.
I am, it's true.
I woke up this morning, put on my red shirt. Oh,
red shirt is where we toss someone out an airlock, correct?
Yes, worst presenter there on the episode.
I am, I think the worst presenter, mainly because she almost dropped her wine, is going to be Deb. Because she dropped, almost dropped her wine.
Put it this way, I caught my wine.
I was very distressed about that. But Deb, who would you redshirt?
I would redshirt Andrea, because I've never redshirted Andrea. Oh. And I don't think I ever have, really. And I can't think of a reason now, just because I've never redshirted Andrea. Oh, yeah, because you look like you're looking at your phone. And you don't laugh at my jokes. Not all of them.
Oh, how vindictive. Vindictive.
You're staring at me now. You're frightening me. I love you. You're my bestie. Yeah,
perhaps she only laughs at funny jokes, Deb.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'll try some funny ones and then you might laugh. Yeah, because you're not booked in the same hotel at me at Destination Trek. There we are.
In any hotel? No, I'm not advertising a podcast where I'm booked in either.
Who would you redshirt? You can get your own back.
It's going to have to be Deb now, really. To be honest, I felt like redshirting myself for saying the phrase 1.5 superfluous nipples out of 5. I felt like that was pretty much put a target on my back there. But it's going to have to be Deb now. So,
Drew, who are you going to redshirt?
Redshirt you, Rach. That was quite a cutting comment there you just said when you introduced saying you're going to redshirt Deb, because you didn't say she deserves it because she's done something. You said she's the worst presenter. Behind me, that's a bit
that's like... That's not what someone said to say.
Yes, 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 yes.
Not only are you the redshirt, Deb, you're the worst presenter.
Yeah, yes. And I've been saying nice things about you, and I never say nice things about anybody.
It's just because I saw you drop the wine, and that made me sad.
I caught my wine.
That was off screen. I think I just saw it go down. You've got it. It's okay. I'll take it all back, Deb. I will be. I redshirt myself.
No, too late. No take backs.
No, it's okay. Right, so that just leaves me, I believe.
Yep.
Right, so I had two choices here. And one was Deb, right, for just. I think she went in front of Rachel, says, I'm next, or something like that. So I thought,
no. I didn't.
Oh, it just seemed like that's from here, from the Midlands area. I was looking at that, and I was thinking, yep, they've just gone ahead and right, even though Rachel had her hand up.
I admitted that I wasn't
now,
next,
but I was also going to go for Rachel's kids, right, just because they were making so much noise in the background. And then she told me off, I can't go for my babies. So I was going to go for Rachel instead, you know, for having a go at me on the Rachels. But now that Deb has decided to have a go back at me, it's going to be Deb. Right. So, Deb, you've got 3 votes.
She's fighting for justice.
No, she's fighting. Some people trying to redshirt children.
Yes, well, I did say.
It's got very dark all of a sudden, isn't
it? Well, you know, we've just had an unwanted pregnancy in this episode, you know.
I think that's fair enough, actually. I nearly said that that what's the difference between children and what was it?
Parasites.
Parasites. And I thought, no, that was going too far, considering I work for Children's Services.
So how are we going to get rid of our Deb? The red shirt of the week.
You keep doing it, and I'm still here.
Yeah, but you're a clown each time. Did you know that? Did you not know that?
Andrea.
I think it's got to involve like sticking your fingers in the pebbles with like a gun or something, or you know, played, like that's not going to have a happy ending, because if it doesn't kill you, you're going to jump off a bridge, aren't you? Really, there. So
she looked happy though.
Yeah, but the thing is, right, you're not the one that's going to end up with the pregnancy. It's going to be the male gorn. So your offspring is going to be then right on the gore.
Who knows what's going to happen if you stick your fingers in and share some, because they have egg sacs, don't they?
There could be millions of babies.
She must get very sexually aroused. I'm up for that.
Like, get mega pregnant.
Go on, Rach.
I was going to say, she could go through that decompression chamber with the Klingons like Trip did. Not a very pleasant experience.
Yes.
3 hours with a Klingon.
3 hours with a group of Klingons.
Right. Rach, do you want to just sign us off, babe?
So thank you for having me on your podcast. It's been really fun. I really enjoyed it. So it's goodbye from me. And does everyone else want to say goodbye?
Bye.
Goodbye.
I can't be bothered. Laters.
Bye.
Your appetite seems to be back to normal.
Just eating for one again.
I've run a check through the Starfleet database. You might be pleased to know that this is the first recorded incident of a human male becoming pregnant.
Just how I always wanted to get into the history books.
Ooh, what, you hear children in the background.
You're not still at that party, are you?
I've left that party. This ain't my children.
They're my children. Someone wants hot chocolate. Okay, I'll start.
You don't have to mute in between.
I am muting because I have children.
I know, but so... that's brilliant. We can hear some gossip going on in the background and cries for hot chocolate.
It was cries hot chocolate, and then I think she spilt her hot chocolate, and then there were more cries. But it's okay.
I've got tickets to go to a recording of The Last Leg in a few weeks.
Oh, nice.
What's The Last Leg?
Channel 4 satirical comedy about
current affairs.
Okay.
And disability rights, funny. That was a bit of a shock. I only put it in a few applications and I got a ticket the next day.
Nice.
And I thought, oh, yeah. I've actually got to go now, haven't I? Anyway, that wasn't, And Jason's going to Thailand for 6 months, so sulking.
Right, let's crack on.
I've got to finish writing the timetable for tomorrow.
Oh, you do look tired as well.
Oh, that deserves a red shirt next week.
Have you just dropped your wine?
Not quite. I grabbed hold of it. I'm not at work tomorrow. I love that backdrop that you've got. It looks like you really are in command of the podcast episode.
That is her living room. She did say earlier on that was her living room.
Do you not live in a starship? Oh, okay.
You've never been invited to Rachel's place. You can have a walk around there, you know.
I'll be driving past soon. I've got to go to Portsmouth.
Oh, popping. I do have the Enterprise scene as my background. This was set up by my husband for me, who thought it would be appropriate for this podcast. So I've got the
Enterprise. Where is Stephen?
He's trying to put the girls to bed.
Let's not disrupt him then.
He's fine. But...
But they'll disrupt him, but the girls have been disrupting our podcast earlier on.
They're allowed.
Oh, good grief. Can we reach it? Reach it? No, we can't kill children. No, sorry.
No, my babies. Don't mess with my babies.
Right, crack on before I say anything else. Oh.
Chicky's been very rude. Look, he's not listening to you at all.
He's probably got someone interesting to
listen. I am listening to you. My wife has decided to come in and she wants to interrupt the podcast about whether to feed me or not. She's gone. It's because I've started talking about it.
This is what happens when a working mother starts speaking. The men switch off.
Oh, okay.
Terrible.
Did you say something? And remember, I also want to go and watch Death in Paradise at 9 o'clock.
I am on holiday, but I'm on my own in a shepherd's hut in Norfolk.
Will it have Wi-Fi?
This is the, well, it has technically got Wi-Fi, so I'm sure I'll be fine. It's just I'll be there. It's even if the Wi-Fi is annoying, I might have to leave early. But I kind of like the idea of doing it in a shepherd's hut in the middle of a field in Norfolk.
Sounds quite romantic.
Romantic on my own.
Yeah, just watch out for pebbles.
Where's the pebbles?
All right.
Thank you for listening. And you can find us all on Twitter as a group. You can find us on at TrekThisOutPod. Or you can go to our Facebook page at TrekThisOut. Just Google that. You can find me on Twitter as Sidemount_151.
So you can find me on Twitter as at Vintage1983V if you're into Star Trek shitposting and a lot of other thirst. If you particularly like to follow me Star Trek art, have a look on Instagram for Vin of the Basement.
And I'm just Lufdee, Luffdee on Twitter. But if you are interested in knowing our obsession about Jason Isaacs, you can find me, Kat, and Andrea posting weird stuff about Jason Isaacs. Hashtag Team Basement.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram as 23BDI.